Vostok Station, Antarctica. In pre-war times, this outpost was considered the most remote on Earth. Situated near the planet's southern geomagnetic pole, atop the 4-kilometer ice crust of Lake Vostok, temperatures here have been recorded at a world record negative 89 degrees Celsius, with the highs rarely reaching above negative 22. This extreme cold and the fact that overland transport takes over a month to reach the station were what made Vostok so attractive to Breckinridge Breck Scott. We meet in the dome, the reinforced geodesic greenhouse that draws power from the station's geothermal plant. These and many other improvements were implemented by Mr. Scott when he leased the station from the Russian government. He has not left it since the Great Panic. Do you understand economics? I mean big-time pre-war global capitalism. Do you get how it worked? I don't. And anyone who says they do is full of shit. There are no rules, no scientific absolutes. You win, you lose, it's a total crapshoot. The only rule that ever made sense to me, I learned from a history, not an economics professor at Wharton. Fear, he used to say. Fear is the most valuable commodity in the universe. That blew me away. Turn on the TV, he'd say. What are you seeing? People selling their products? No. People selling the fear of you having to live without their products. Fucking A, was he right. Fear of aging, fear of loneliness, fear of poverty, fear of failure. Fear is the most basic emotion we have. Fear is primal. Fear sells. That was my mantra. Fear sells. When I first heard about the outbreaks, back when it was still called African rabies, I saw the opportunity of a lifetime. I'll never forget that first report, the Cape Town outbreak, only 10 minutes of actual reporting, then a full hour of speculating about what would happen if the virus ever made it to America. God bless the news. I hit speed dial 30 seconds later. I met with some of my nearest and dearest. They'd all seen the same report. I was the first one to come up with a workable pitch, a vaccine, a real vaccine for rabies. Thank God there is no cure for rabies. A cure would make people buy it only if they thought they were infected. But a vaccine? That's preventative. People will keep taking that as long as they're afraid it's out there. We had plenty of contacts in the biomed industry, with plenty more up on the Hill and Penn Avenue. We could have a working proto in less than a month and a proposal written up within a couple of days. By the 18th hole, it was handshakes all around. What about the FDA? Please, are you serious? Back then, the FDA was one of the most underfunded, mismanaged organizations in the country. I think they were still high-fiving over getting red number 2 out of M&M's. Note 1. Myth. Although red M&M's were removed from 1976 to 1985, they did not use red dye number 2. End note. Plus, this was one of the most business-friendly administrations in American history. J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller were getting wood from beyond the grave for this guy in the White House. His staff didn't even bother to read our cost assessment report. I think they were already looking for a magic bullet. They railroaded it through the FDA in 2 months. Remember the speech the Prez made before Congress, how it had been tested in Europe for some time, and the only thing holding it up was our own bloated bureaucracy? Remember the whole thing about people don't need big government, they need big protection, and they need it big time. Jesus Christmas. I think half the country creamed their pants at that. How high did his approval rating go that night? 60%? 70%? I just know that it jacked our IPO 389% on the first day. Suck on that, Baidu.com. And you didn't know if it would work? We knew it would work against rabies. And that's what they said it was. Right. Just some weird strain of jungle rabies.
Who said that?
You know, they. Like the UN or the... somebody. That's what everyone ended up calling it, right? African rabies.
Was it ever tested on an actual victim?
Why? People used to take flu shots all the time, never knowing if it was for the right strain. Why was this any different?
But the damage.
Who thought it was going to go that far? You know how many disease scares there used to be? Jesus, you'd think the Black Death was sweeping the globe every 3 months or so. Ebola, SARS, avian flu. You know how many people made money on those scares? Shit, I made my first million on useless anti-radiation pills during the dirty bomb scares.
But if someone discovered...
Discovered what? We never lied, you understand. They told us it was rabies, so we made a vaccine for rabies. We said it had been tested in Europe, and the drugs it was based on had been tested in Europe. Technically, we never lied. Technically, we never did anything wrong.
But if someone discovered that it wasn't rabies...
Who was going to blow the whistle? The medical profession? We made sure it was a prescription drug, so doctors stood just as much to lose as us. Who else? The FDA, who let it pass? The congressmen who all voted for its acceptance? The Surgeon General? The White House? This was a win-win situation. Everyone got to be heroes. Everyone got to make money. 6 months after Phalanx hit the market, you started getting all these cheaper knockoff brands, all solid sellers as well as the other ancillary stuff like home air purifiers.
But the virus wasn't airborne.
It didn't matter. It still had the same brand name, from the makers of... All I had to say was, may prevent some viral infections. That was it. Now I understand why it used to be illegal to shout fire in a crowded theater. People weren't going to say, hey, I don't smell smoke. Is there really a fire? No, they say, holy shit, there's a fire. Run.
Laughs.
I made money on home purifiers, car purifiers. My biggest seller was this little doodad you wore around your neck when you got on a plane. I don't know if it even filtered ragweed, but it sold. Things got so good I started setting up these dummy companies. You know, with plans to build manufacturing facilities all over the country. The shares from these dumbos sold almost as much as the real stuff. It wasn't even the idea of safety anymore. It was the idea of safety. Remember when we started to get our first cases here in the States? That guy in Florida who said he'd been bitten but survived because he was taking Phalanx?
Oh. He stands, mimes the act of frantic fornication.
God freaking bless that dumbass, whoever he was.
But that wasn't because of Phalanx. Your drug didn't protect people at all.
It protected them from their fears. That's all I was selling. Hell, because of Phalanx, the biomed sector started to recover, which in turn jump-started the stock market, which then gave the impression of a recovery, which then restored consumer confidence to stimulate an actual recovery. Phalanx, hands down, ended the recession. I ended the recession.
And then, when the outbreaks became more serious, and the press finally reported that there was no wonder drug?
Pre-fucking-cisely. That's the alpha cunt who should be shot. What's her name? Who first broke that story? Look what she did. Pulled the fucking rug right out from under us all. She caused the spiral. She caused the great panic.
And you take no personal responsibility.
For what? For making a little fucking cash? Well, not a little.
Giggles.
All I did was what any of us are ever supposed to do. I chased my dream, and I got my slice. You want to blame someone? Blame whoever first called it rabies. Or who knew it wasn't rabies and gave us the green light anyway. Shit, you want to blame someone? Why not start with all the sheep who forked over their greenbacks without bothering to do a little responsible research? I never held a gun to their heads. They made the choice themselves. They're the bad guys, not me. I never directly hurt anybody. And if anybody was too stupid to get themselves hurt, boo fucking who? Of course. If there's a hell, giggles as he talks, I don't want to think about how many of those dumb shits might be waiting for me. I just hope they don't want a refund.